It's time for Recipe of the Day. It's Friday, we made it, and I think we deserve something that is somewhere between cozy and light and fresh. You know, we're in the middle of March, we're not quite yet at the beginning of spring yet, and it's still cold in a lot of places, not here in Florida, but in a lot of places. And so you want that nice warming dinner, but also you're looking forward to spring and you want bright, fresh flavors. Hearty salmon chowder is the answer. So what exactly is chowder? It is a creamy style of soup. In the Northeast, seafood chowders are very popular, like New England clam chowder, right? And then in the Southwest, you're more likely to find like corn and potato chowders. You know, I said creamy soup and I totally am forgetting that, of course, there's Manhattan clam chowder, which is tomato based and I think just maybe is the exception to the rule. You know what I mean? So chowder, I think, is just a thick and chunky soup. And I think we can call anything that is thick and chunky chowder if we feel like it. I'm trying to think if that's true. Like, could I do a bacon and cheese chowder? Yeah, I think it would have like a cheesy, creamy sauce and have like some potatoes, maybe some corn going on. You see what I mean? You can turn anything into a chowder if you just make it nice and chunky and maybe creamy, except for that Manhattan one, right? Okay, so I think of this salmon chowder as kind of a riff on the New England style clam chowder. To the point where I like to serve the little oyster crackers and some hot sauce with it, which I know a lot of people do with their clam chowder, right? The difference is, of course, that it has salmon in it instead of clams. And also, I've flavored it with some fresh dill because dill and salmon are just so lovely together. But if you wanted to, you could do like a smoked paprika and hot pepper flakes instead. That would be really good. So there's different flavor profiles. You could take this in almost any direction once you know how to make the basic soup. One of the things I love about this salmon chowder, like some of the other salmon recipes I've been telling you about lately, is that you can use fresh salmon for this, but you can also use canned salmon. You can use leftover cooked salmon. You can use frozen salmon. You can use the frozen fillets, frozen anything like that. It is all going to work in this soup. Okay, where do we start? We start with some bacon. 3 strips of raw bacon chopped. Now, I know I've told you before, I don't love chopping raw bacon. I just find it like squidgy in a weird way and sort of hard to chop. So I do it with some kitchen shears, just like clean scissors that I keep in the kitchen. And what I do is I cut the strips of bacon in half and then I slice each one all the way down. And then I go through and just snip, snip, snip all along it. I just find it easier. So you're chopping up that bacon and then put it into a large pot set over medium heat and cook, stirring fairly often until it's kind of crispy. And then you're adding a medium onion that you've chopped up and 2 ribs of celery that you've chopped up. And you cook that, stirring every now and then until it's softened, 3 to 4 minutes. Then you're going in with 2 or 3 or 4 cloves of minced garlic. Add those and just cook for like 30 seconds while you're stirring. Then 1/4 cup of regular all-purpose flour goes in there and kind of stir it around so it's getting dispersed among the onion, celery, and bacon that's in your pot. It's mixing with the bacon fat that's in there, right? It's basically kind of forming a roux that we're going to use as the base for the soup. Next in is an 8-ounce bottle of clam juice. They sell this at the grocery store where the canned fish is, and 8 ounces is 1 cup. If you don't want to use the clam juice or don't have clam juice or can't find clam juice, there are alternatives. You can buy or make fish or seafood stock. You know, I was just talking the other day with you about how you can use the shrimp shells from when you have raw shrimp. You can cook those up, saute them in some butter, and then add some broth to it, or just add some broth to those shells. That makes a little shrimp stock. You could do something like that. A really easy substitution is to do 1 cup of vegetable stock with 1/2 teaspoon of fish sauce or 1/2 teaspoon of anchovy paste. That is going to work as well. The other thing you can do is to just use broth or stock. So it's 1 cup of vegetable or chicken broth or stock. That's going to be great here. So you're going to stir that in slowly, working it into the flour in the pot while you're stirring. Just drizzle it in slowly. And then you're going in with the milk. The recipe calls for 4 cups of whole milk. I have 2 things to say about this. The reason we're using whole milk is because the soup is going to be simmering for a little while. The potatoes are going to be cooking in there. there. And milk that has a lower dairy content is more likely to curdle from cooking like that. Even with the whole milk, you want to make sure that you're not bringing this up to a boil ever. It's going to come up to a very gentle simmer and then you're turning it down because we don't want it to curdle. But we do want the potatoes to soak in that nice, creamy, rich milkiness. You know what I mean? So we do want to use the milk. I would just say don't use a low-fat or non-fat milk here at all. It is just not going to work. The other thing I want to say about the milk is the recipe calls for 4 cups. That makes a little bit of a thinner soup base here. If you want like a really thick, like stick to your rib kind of soup chowder, like more like a stew kind of texture, then you want to use 3 cups of whole milk instead of 4. When you add your milk, you are also adding 2 medium potatoes, russet potatoes, because I like that like soft way that they fall apart. And you want to cut those into 1/2-inch cubes. You don't have to peel them first. Now, if you wanted to use a different kind of potato, if you like them to have a little bit more like, you know, starchy texture, not falling apart so much, you could totally use those. Red potatoes, Yukon Gold, whatever you like. You just want about the amount that 2 medium baking potatoes would give you, right? And I think I already said, cut those into 1/2-inch cubes. Along with that, you're also adding a bay leaf, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. So then this is where you increase the heat to medium high, and you're gonna stir it often, like I would say even just continuously, until it comes up to a gentle simmer. You just want to make sure you catch that because like I said, you don't want this coming up to a boil. So as soon as there are some bubbles there, stir it one more time and then immediately reduce the heat down to low. And you're going to cook then, stirring occasionally just until the potatoes are fork tender. It's going to be 12 to 15 minutes. At that point, you're stirring in the dill and the salmon. So dill first, 2 tablespoons of fresh chopped up dill. If you instead wanted to use dried dill, you can. It's going to be 2 teaspoons, and you're actually going to go back in time and add it when you added the potatoes. And that's just because you want that to really hydrate properly, okay? Because it's a dry herb. As to the salmon that you choose, if you're using fresh salmon, it's 1 pound of skinless salmon that you've cut into 1/2-inch chunks. They go in there right then. If you're using canned salmon, my favorite is the red sockeye salmon to use here, and you're doing 2 5-ounce cans with the juice that's in there, and that goes in. You can use, like I said, frozen salmon. It's unlikely that if you have frozen salmon, it's already cut into chunks, so you might have to thaw it, in which case you will be treating it just like the fresh salmon, right? And then if you have frozen cooked salmon, if it is in chunks, it's going in at the same time. All these things are going in at the same time. I guess my point that I want to make is all that changes depending on whatever kind of salmon you use is how long it's cooking for. So the fresh salmon that is cut into 1/2-inch pieces needs to cook for about 3 minutes to get it to that opaque and flaky texture. And, you know, salmon has to be 145 degrees Fahrenheit internally. It's going to be hard to test that with an instant read thermometer, but that would be the goal. You just want to make sure that it is flaky, not kind of like that translucent sort of look to it anywhere. So like I said, it's going to be about 3 minutes if you started with the fresh salmon. If you're using any kind of frozen raw salmon, it's going to be an extra 3 minutes on that time. If your salmon is fully cooked and frozen, you're really just waiting for that to thaw out and heat through. So it's probably going to be 3 to 4 minutes total. And then the canned salmon, it's going in there. You're dumping those cans into there. It's already fully cooked. You just need to heat it through. It's like a minute, right? At that point, give it a taste, add more salt and pepper if you'd like, and then ladle it into bowls and serve with some hot sauce on the side and those oyster crackers. A little bit of extra fresh dill on top would be great too. I will put the link to this recipe in the show notes for this podcast episode, or you can head to cookthestory.com/ROTD and get it there. Today is March 15th of 2024. That will help you find the episode. And I will say, if you love my recipes and my tips, if you really like all the things that I'm sharing about food, you should subscribe to my email newsletter. I send out such great emails, both from the Cook the Story site and from the Cookful site. It's very easy to sign up. You just go to cookthestory.com and then click on Start Here across the top on your desktop or in the menu if you're not on desktop, and you'll see the newsletter, sign up there. Same thing for the Cookful. Go to thecookful.com, click on start here, and you can sign up there and you'll start hearing from me very timely ideas, great tips, everything that I can do to make your life easier in the kitchen and all the food that you eat tastier, right? I think that's always where I just want to be, in that like Venn diagram place right between easy and delicious. So you and me, let's keep meeting up there. I am Christine Bittman from cookthestory.com, thecookful.com, the all new chicken cookbook, and from this podcast, Recipe of the Day. I hope you have a great day. Let's get cooking.